Praise God for those words, and what a great job this week we had in VBS and all the workers that were there. Praise God for each one of you. I want to take a moment just right now just to introduce and welcome Dr. Bisagno. If you don't know who he was a longtime pastor of First Baptist, and the reason I want to introduce him is because they are our mother church, so they started our church. So thank you so much for visiting with us. We're honored to have you here. Make sure you say hello to him later if you can. We are continuing our study in 1 Corinthians, and I want to just tell you that it's going to get hotter and hotter as we go through. In a society that does not want to hear the word of God, the things that God used the Apostle Paul to write, well, they're pretty rough, but they're right to the heart. So I'm going to ask that you will pray with me for a moment. Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for giving us the privilege to worship you, to be in your presence, and now, Lord, to hear from you. Would you speak to our hearts from your word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, you might remember, I shared a word with you, the word hupaete. You know what that is, right? Of course, you should know that, because that's who you are and that's who I am. This is the word, Greek word meaning under rower. We are under rowers. We are slaves of the living God as an under rower in the lowest level of a ship. So really there's not a whole lot to boast. Now, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about pride as we have gone through and will go through. You know why? The reason is because the Christians in Corinth was really proud. They were really proud of who they were. They were really proud of what they had. They were really proud of the condition and situations of their lives. Not unlike, I want to tell you, perhaps Christians in America today. Now, for the moment, as it is being written here, maybe the Christians didn't suffer a lot of persecution in that city. For whatever reasons. There are other cities that the Christians were really going through tough times, but they were not. They were really enjoying themselves, thinking they were something. You know, when we look at the situation of this world, you know that there are lots of places in this world that the Christians are suffering. Not like us. We think it's suffering because we get, you know, kind of looked at wrong, or we get a little bit abused from people that are saying, oh, you're a Christian and this and that. Oh, no, it's nothing like the rest of the world. Barbara and I had an opportunity, and we really enjoyed the movie, actually. We saw the movie The Promised, which came out recently. And the movie describes what happened in Armenia. About 1.5 million people were massacred. And this is during the Ottoman Empire time before World War I. Most of them were Christians. They suffered under persecution. And most of us, we never understand that. We don't know what that really means. But you know, the people there in Corinth, they were kind of proud. And so Paul wanted to address them and has been doing so in our past few weeks. But you need to know, as we do know, that God never works with proud people, okay? Proverbs 16:18 says, you know, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God will never use us if we have pride in our hearts. If we're doing things because we think we're something, that we think we're more than we are and we're arrogant, God doesn't work in our lives. So the Apostle Paul attacks this, and this is a passage in which it's kind of a little different. You know, I've read it many, many times, and you know, when you first read it, ooh, Paul, did you have to say things like this? A little bit rough here. But this is God's word, and God uses the Apostle Paul to speak to us, and he wants us to get it. He wants us to understand what it means to be humble before him. And so in this passage, he does a few things. First of all, he shares a word with us, a word to know. And that is the word puffed up. Now, you know I am a fish hobbyist, and I've had fish like this before. This is called puffer fish. If you ever see it, you know, in a tank, it's just a little silly fish. It's really a silly fish. It looks like a giant head with a tail. That's all it is. But when it gets scared, you know, it puffs up. It will suck in air or water, and it puffs up to look like a monster. And all the spiky things are coming out, and you don't want to touch it. You don't get near it. They do that because it's a defense mechanism, trying to make themselves look much bigger and much more ferocious than what it is. It's just a little silly fish. A puffer fish is nothing. It can't harm you. It does nothing to anybody else. But that's what it does. The word puffed up, or the phrase puffed up, in the Greek is the word phusio. You know, so if you want to call somebody, you know, I'm teaching you all these Greek words to tell in your arguments, to say that to your wife or your person, you know, sister and brother, you say, yeah, you're just nothing but phusio. I mean, you're not doing nothing but puffing up, you know. You're just full of puffing up stuff. That's not a good phrase to say about it. And I was looking up from the Strong lexicon, and the word fusio literally means this: you're making yourself bigger than you really are. You're lifting yourself higher than what you really are. And it really equates to the meaning of arrogance and pride. That's what it is. And so when the Apostle Paul says, guys, you are not doing nothing but puffing yourself up, he's saying, guys, you are prideful for no good reason. And he'll talk about that a little bit more. He goes back, and this is a phrase that's interesting. He says, in the scripture, he says, don't go beyond what is written. What does that mean? I want you to understand something. Today, in our society, we are going way beyond what is written all the time. What is written in the Word of God? I was watching a video the other day, and I was really distraught. Because it was a bunch of pastors being on television, well, actually on a video, and it was on Facebook. It was all over, thousands and thousands of views. And it was talking about how they are changing their mind because of what's happening today about the Word of God. He said, I grew up thinking this is right, and then I realized, oh, no, it isn't. I used to think this, and a bunch of pastors, noteworthy pastors, pastors that have significant ministries in the sense of sizes and all that, and they're ministering to thousands of people, and they're saying things that I'm reading, I'm watching, I'm like, what are you guys doing? Because now, instead of just the Word of God, they're adding all kinds of other stuff to it. They're amplifying the Word of God. They're exaggerating the Word of God. They're minimizing the Word of God. They're doing all those things. And the Apostle Paul writes here, do not go beyond what is written, because if you do, you're going to puff yourself up. You're going to put yourself in a place where you're arrogant, you're prideful, you're saying things and doing things and thinking things about yourself that you are not. Again, let me remind you and I are hupa etes. We are just slaves under rowers of the master. Nobody needs to know who we are. Nobody needs to think, oh, wow, Pastor Dan, he really has something profound. No one has to think that. No one has to think, oh, I'm going to go to CBC because I want to hear Pastor Dan. No one has to think that at all, ever. We are just hupa etes. If nothing else, remember that phrase, that word, hupa etes. We're just slaves under rowers of the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is a privilege for all of us. Do not ever let yourself get puffed up. Now, by the way, these people were getting puffed up, not only because of the things they're thinking about themselves, but because of who they were following. Remember, the Apostle Paul started the church in Corinth. Oh, Paul got me. You know, I learned from him. I am so great. And then the second pastor that came by was Apollos. Apollos, wow, what an orator. Have you heard him speak? He won't bore you to death. And then another one, Cephas, Peter. On and on and on. They were boasting about the people they were associated with. And because of who they were associated with, they thought they were better. And they puffed themselves up. The Apostle Paul says, learn that word, don't. Then you will not be puffed up. He goes on in attacking the pride of these people, these Christians, concurrent. He goes on and he asks three questions right there in verse 7. It's really interesting here. He says, you know what? For who makes you different than anyone else? That's the first question. This is important. What's so different about you? You're under rower. You're on the third level on a ship. There's a whole bunch of you there. Everybody's rowing. You're rowing on the left side. You're rowing on the right side. What is the difference? Who are you so different? Oh, no, I'm different. I was born differently, you know. I'm a special person. I want to tell you, every one of you, God has made you and I very special. Yes. I say that, and all my life in ministry, I've talked to young people that, because a lot of young people don't think so. God has made you special. He created you. He knew all about you. There's special things about who you are, what you are, and so forth. God made you, but not to be prideful. You are a special person, but you are a hupa'ete. You are an underrower before God. Who are you? Who made you different than anybody else? We are all saved by grace. We are all sinner, forgiven. We are all people that are serving the living God. That's who we are. But sometimes we think we're something. Sometimes it's our association. Sometimes we really think we're something. I remember when I was going to Bible school, this one guy got up there. I can't believe it. It wasn't chapel. We had chapel every day. And he said, his goal in life was to be a millionaire. Really? Oh, that's it. It was weird. But I said, his goal in life was to be a rich man because, you know what, he was special. You know, he's not like everybody else. You're going to be poor souls there, but I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to make something of my life. Really. Don't ever look to be more than a hupa'ete. That is what you want to be. He asked the second question, what do you have that you did not receive? What is it about you that is so great? You know, sometimes we think this. This is something we need to know. You know, we get this idea that, you know, maybe I'm just a simple person, but I did something with my life. You know? Really. I talk about this sometimes. It's like, I was number six, you know, in my family. So number six is very important, that number. I was six of seven kids. And again, nobody cares about number six. You know that. I am from a refugee's family. My parents were refugees from China to Hong Kong. So I'm a refugee. And not only that, I'm Chinese, which makes me one out of 1.3 billion people. You lose a few, no one remembers. So who am I? Why do I think I have anything at all? It is what God has given to me. You know, some people say, no, I have qualities. I have abilities. Look, I was valedictorian. I'm so smart. I went to the best school and on and on and on. Really? Really? Because of what you have done? What if you were born somewhere else? I remember when I was growing up, spent most of my life, young life anyway, playing basketball. I was in two basketball teams all the time. We were in tournaments all the time. One particular team, though, we had different players there every once in a while, but we had this one guy. When I knew that he was going to be in my team, I knew that we were going to do well. His name was Lett. He was the best point guard I have ever seen. He's like a Chris Paul, you know? The one that just joined the Houston Rockets, yep, we're going to do it. He had eyes behind his back. You know, I was a shooting guard. I was shooting forward. That's my position. And when Lett was playing, I knew I was going to score over 20 points. Anytime, every time. He'll get me the ball. I just got to get to the place. He was awesome, great. How come he didn't make it to the NBA or something like that? I'll tell you why. Because he's Chinese. And he was 5'8". He was like this. He's not going anywhere, okay? He was fast as can be. He'll get you the ball. He's not going anywhere. Sometimes we think, wow, you know, why can't I be Yao Ming? Why don't you know what? What have you been doing that you haven't been given? What is it about you that you earn anything whatsoever? Because the Apostle Paul said this to the people there, and I don't know who they were. Maybe some of these people were pretty highly regarded. Remember, in the city of Antioch, the church in Antioch, there were people that were part of the nobility, for that matter. We read that in Acts chapter 13. So maybe there were some nobilities there. Maybe there's some great Greek there. You know, people there in that city that were royal, maybe rich, powerful. But Paul wanted them to know that they have nothing except that God has given it to them. And then he asked the third question. And if you received it, then why are you boasting about it as though you earned it? You know, when you're in church for a long time, this is what happens. We get to a place where we're ministering, we're effective, we do things. And I'll tell you what the enemy does all the time. He always brings about the possibility of pride. It gets to your head. You know, even as pastors, there's some awesome, great pastors in this world. Most of them we don't know. Most of them we never heard of. Most of them are ministering places that we might not even know about. But we got the headliners, you know, we got all those people out there, And I'm not knocking any one of them necessarily, unless they're taking the glory from the Almighty God. Remember, we always say, you know, there should be only one hero in any church, one hero is always Jesus, and that's what VBS was talking about. Jesus is the only hero. Every one of us are huperetes. We are just under rowers. And so we didn't receive anything. Why should we boast? When Barbara first met me, I was this little skinny Chinese guy. Really shy. I was so shy. To stand up here, I would collapse right now. You have to carry me off. I'm so scared of people. When I meet somebody new, I would stutter. I just go into stuttering. I just couldn't put two sentences together. I was so shy. Never in my mind would I ever thought about being a preacher. Never in my mind did I ever think about standing in front of anybody. We used to do things in our church, and I would always be the background. The only thing I ever did was I would play guitar. I remember in Chinatown, we have a little box, you know, literally, we had a box. We'd stand on the box and play guitar, and I was scared stiff as I'm playing it. But you know what? God gives us giftedness. God gives us opportunities. God gives us possibilities, brings us to situations. All of those things are from God. He gives them all to us. He gave it to me so that I can be a simple pastor, and I love it so much. Am I ever going to boast about it? Never. Never. Because if I didn't earn it, why would I boast? It's given to me. You know, God has given to each one of you wonderful things. God has designed great and awesome things. In situations, you were born in your situation, in your family, in your place and time for a reason. It is not accidental. He has a plan for you. Wonderful things that you can accomplish and become a part of. All from God, because you are an under rower. You are huperete to him. He has great things for you. And all glory goes to God. The third thing we find here is... I love reading. I read it so many times, I can't believe it. Every time I read that, I laugh. Paul gives a whole, well, a lot of verses here, all sarcastic. You know, sarcasm is not something we want to teach people, right? Say, oh, don't be so sarcastic. That's not nice. But here in this passage, he does sarcasm. He does it so well. Because, you see, he understood that all these folks in Corinth thought they were something. They really did. They thought there was something. So he begins by saying, you have all you want. Everything you need, you got. Wow, amazing, right? You already got all those things. You become rich, you know? You're not only that, you're reigning now. You're beginning to kind of rule over other people. Maybe there are little people there that you're taking care of. Wow, what a great church it is. You know, it is one of the cities that the church is not being persecuted, it seems. And you are doing all that without us. How great is it? Now, you know that's all sarcasm, because he's not saying they're great. He's not saying they're rich. He's not saying they got everything they need. He's saying the opposite, because he's saying, you guys don't even know what's going on with your life. You guys are so arrogant, so puffed up, so prideful, that you have missed the fact that you guys are missing the very things that you think you have and you strive for. And then he describes himself and the apostles. He says, for it seems to me that God has put us as apostles on display at the end of the processions, like those condemned to die in the arena. Now, I don't know if you understand what that means. Back in those days, not today, you know, the Roman Empire was in war all the time. They're doing battles. They go to Egypt. They go to, you know, Africa. They go to Europe. They're going there. They are these generals. They take an army, and they go crush the enemies, and they were good at it. For 1,000 years, they were great at it. And after a general would win a battle, this is what they would do. They would come into a city, whatever it is, maybe Corinth, maybe in Rome, maybe Athens, wherever. And they will be cheered. And the people were lined up. They will be cheering this general, general this and general that. He will be in the front on his high horse, you know, white horse probably. He's the champion, the conqueror, the general that defeated those, you know, those savages up there in Europe somewhere. And then the army will come, and they'll be cheering. Now, we do this all the time. We've done this in Europe, World War I, World War II, all these things, right? You understand that. But back then, there's something different. At the end of the procession, after the, you know, 20,000 soldiers are marched through the city, at the end, they will parade the ones they captured, the ones they defeated. At the end of it, they'll all be in chains. They'll drag these, you know, kind of captives, and they're leading them, and there's a purpose for them. These guys there are not going to live very long. This is a spectacle, he calls it. These are the ones condemned. They're at the end of possession. They're chained up, whether men, women, children, whatever they want. They will drag them. There will be maybe 100, 200 of them. Maybe the king will be there. Maybe some other general there. Whatever it is, they'll be all chained up. And then they will enter into the Colosseum, the arena, some kind of arena in that city. And this is what they did with them. They will lock them in there. And then they'll do one of two things. They'll make them fight like gladiators, you know. Kill each other. If you survive, you can live, you know. Or they do worse. They open the cages and set the lions on them. That's what they did. And when Paul was talking about themselves like that, he's saying, oh, you guys are great. You guys are doing all that. You guys are in the front. And there we are at the end. Yeah. It's sarcasm. Is real. You know why? Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So if you want to be first, if you want to be great, no. You're going to have to be last. And true to form, this is not just true, but it's almost prophetic here. You know what happened to the apostles, right? Every one of them, including Paul, they were executed with the exception of John, who was sentenced on exile, in hard labor there. That's who they were. Paul said, that's what we are. And you know what? We don't mind doing that because that's who we are. We are hupaetes. We are under rowers. That's who we are. We're not going to be fusios. We're not going to be puffed up. We are saved by grace. Our God loves us. Jesus saved me. And I am going to serve him to the end of days. And if I'm going to be at the end, let it be. I want to be there because the last shall be first. The first shall be last. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be the greatest what? Servant. The greatest hupaetes. And so we, as God's people today, living in America, in a place where we might be all puffed up. We need to remind ourselves that there's a bunch of brothers and sisters in the Lord that are at the end of the train, at the possession. And God knows who they are. And so as Paul begins to get into the characters, the activities, the things that these Corinthians Christians are doing, he wanted to attack this issue of pride and arrogance more than anything else. Because God will never work with a prideful person, never work with an arrogant church. He will only work in the context of humility. And that's the Apostle Paul. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you. I want to thank you for people like Paul, people who understood that they are sinners saved by grace, who understood that they are slaves, under rowers of you, of your ministry, and so glad. Oh Lord, would you make us that way too? Allow us, Lord God, allow us to be humble before you, so that you may lift us up and may do great and awesome things.